This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard.
And food is on everyone's minds as we snack on Thanksgiving leftovers. It got us thinking about food in space.
Luckily for us, Discover Magazine just included a feature about the food astronauts eat and how that food has evolved over time in their latest issue.
Christian Millman is the author of The Care and Feeding of Astronauts in the December issue of Discover Magazine. He's a contributing editor there. Christian, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Veronica. It's good to talk to you both again.
Well, if I may start your story in a gross moment, you kick things off with talking about a wet burp in space. Why start there?
I tamed that down quite a bit. But it was a visceral example of just some of the many challenges faced among the original astronauts heading into space. If you think about it, eating in space is not something we should be able to do, and it wasn't even known if we could eat in space. A wet burp was just one of the many things that came out of those early days of Discovery.
Right. Now, why was it not exactly a foregone conclusion whether or not astronauts could even eat stuff in space?
The impact of gravity on the ability of your system to absorb, digest and absorb food wasn't known. It wasn't known if you needed gravity to actually pull the food through your system, if you needed that gravity assist, or if it would work normally in a zero-gravity environment. Those were very fundamental questions that we couldn't have known until we started going to space.
Well, the good news is we can. The esophagus and the process of, and I always love this word, peristalsis.
Peristalsis is a beautiful thing. Think of it as a python. It's the mouse going through the snake in that sort of writhing sort of contraction. That's how we work from stem to stern, so to speak, and that's what gets food through us, and essentially, it's a fairly complex biological process, but that's what gets the nutrients into our system. Turns out, happily, we don't need gravity.
Well, and it sounds like the very first food, once they figured out, astronauts can eat in space, it was stuff that was pureed and came out of a tube, kind of like, it sounds like toothpaste.
It was, and in fact, I'd rather eat toothpaste compared to many of the things. My dog used to have a meat-flavored toothpaste that would have been preferable to many of the things that the early space travelers faced.
Well, what did they eat?
It was pureed anything that would give them the nutrients they needed. My dog's meat toothpaste actually was probably very similar to the pureed beef that the earliest astronauts ate. It was anything you could squeeze into a tube. That was during the first episode, or the first missions, and it progressed later from there to slightly better, but still not good until we got into the 80s, really.
And we joke about, gross astronaut food, but this is serious stuff for the people who have
really
to go up and eat this stuff first for a few days and then maybe months, and then, maybe someday for a long time on the way to Mars.
It's actually very serious business, and NASA and other space agencies take it seriously. It can actually compromise missions if you can't get people to accept the food for long periods of time. And people who run prisons, just thinking back to your previous interview, they know this. Ship captains and people who run prisons know that if you don't have enough variety, food creates or takes on an undue importance with people who are confined to small spaces. And you can actually have mission failures because of things like menu fatigue.
And there was one incident of an astronaut, I guess, being so unhappy with what was going to be on the offering up there that he snuck in a corned beef sandwich.
Well, actually, he didn't, but he was one of the most vociferous he complained most vociferously about the terrible, terrible food in the early space days. And actually, what took place, it was in March 1965. Gus Grissom was the commander on Gemini 3. And those were two-person crews. So they blast off into space on this tiny little capsule, which is smaller than any hatchback you've ever been in. And they reach orbit, and his co-pilot reaches into his spacesuit pocket and pulls out a corned beef sandwich, which was Grissom's favorite sandwich, and says, "Hey, Skip, would you care for a sandwich?" And it turned into a beautiful moment that had some big ramifications back on Earth, because he took a few bites, and the crumbs became so problematic that they threatened to foul some of the instruments, so he put it away after a couple of bites. And as far as I can tell, it's the only time a sandwich has caused a congressional hearing. When they got back to the planet, and people found out that they had smuggled the sandwich on board. One member of Congress got very sort of huffy about it and called a congressional hearing. You have to remember, this was the hottest part of the Cold War, and anything that could be considered a threat to the space program was taken very seriously.
Talking to Christian Millman from Discover Magazine, talk about the history of astronaut food. Well, in that sandwich illustrates the engineering challenge of the food. Part of the problem was the rye bread, the crumbs flew around, they could clog equipment. This is what NASA and other space programs are contending with. The once it gets inside us, we can digest it, but until it gets inside us, it has to not get out and foul everything up.
You're absolutely correct. And you can actually have bread in space if you coat it with gel. And that's about as
yum.
Pleasant as it sounds. Yes, exactly. In fact, the six people on the International Space Station just had a turkey dinner that would not have been unfamiliar to most people, except in its experience. It sounds good, but it has to be treated in such a way that you know it's not your mom's cooking.
Well, Skylab, it sounds like the first American space station decided to try to improve on this. What was that? What's Skylab menu like?
Skylab menu was enormous, and it hasn't been replicated ever since. There were hundreds of menu items available on Skylab. They had capabilities like freezers that are no longer available just because it's too complex to maintain those systems. But one of the big missions for Skylab was to figure out how to feed people for the long term in space, and they came a long way. In fact, most of what we know and use today was learned aboard Skylab, and that was in the 1970s. So once you learn it, it's good. There's no shelf life on that particular bit of food.
So what is the state of the art now? How, if I'm an astronaut, what am I eating out of? What does it look and taste like?
Well, I'll tell you what the six people ate yesterday. They had irradiated smoked turkey, so that it would have been slices of turkey, similar to what you'd see in a deli case. They would have had thermostabilized candied yams. I don't even want to try with that one. Freeze-dried vegetables, probably green beans or mushrooms, could have been corn. They would have had a freeze-dried cornbread dressing. And you can actually make that recipe if you wanted. Just search it on NASA.gov. It makes a ton, but if you want to see what it's like. And for dessert, they would have had a thermostabilized cobbler. So these are pouch foods primarily. And if you've ever seen the foods that campers take on that into the backwoods or the military ready-to-eat meals, they're very similar. So most people have some context for what you eat in space now.
What is
it? It all has a very funny flavor that's just off.
What does thermostabilize mean in this context?
Thermostabilize just means that you don't have to refrigerate it. It's packaged and prepared so that it doesn't have to be kept at a certain temperature.
Now, we have an international space station. Does an American astronaut want something different than, say, a Russian astronaut?
Sure, and that happens all the time. They will, before they go into space, they'll start choosing items for their individual menus. But, you know, things change. We'd lost several missions, supply missions this year, and there was a lot of food on those supply missions, so they had to repeat things that they wouldn't necessarily have to have repeated otherwise. So you do have a lot more individual choice now and the ability to trade between other astronauts who are, you know, the food is supplied on a country-by-country basis, so the Russians are getting very different food, and that, I'm sure, makes for some pretty good poker games in space.
Now, my kids, for whatever reasons unknown to me, they enjoy what's, you know, known as astronaut ice cream. Is that a real thing?
It is a real thing, and if you've been to a museum or if you've been to many camping stores, you'll see the foil packets of freeze-dried ice cream, and I loosely call it ice cream. It's truly awful stuff. The kids love it, and it has persisted as the image of astronaut food since the 70s. And it actually only made it into space once before the astronauts actually dumped it because it was too terrible.
As we wrap up, Christian, any cutting-edge things out there briefly that might be on the next wave of space missions?
The next wave is going to be all about how to get enough food into space for the longer-term missions. So if you're going to be on a Mars mission, for example, for years, how do you get that much food into space to support each astronaut? It's about 3,000 pounds right now for each astronaut to make a return trip to Mars, including time on surface. So you have to either pre-stage that food, which means have it floating in orbit somewhere around Mars or somewhere between here and Mars where you can pick it up on the way.
And we got to leave it there, Christian. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That was Christian Millman, contributing editor for Discover Magazine. He was with us to talk about his piece in the latest issue. It's called The Care and Feeding of Astronauts.
I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. News is next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.